Many of you have heard me mention the name Dr. John Piper at times in the past. He is an American Reformed Baptist who believes very strongly in the teachings of John Calvin, the founder of our denomination. He's written over 50 books, and he also affirms the sovereignty of God, that God is in control of all things, even the little dust motes that are floating around us right now in this sanctuary. Back in on May the 28th, 2017, he went out to Suwon, South Korea, and he gave a sermon at the Suwon Central Baptist Church there. The title of the sermon was God's Purposes in a World of Pain. And this is what he said. We live in a world of unending calamities. Natural disasters are relentless in their devastation. A typhoon in North Korea killed hundreds. Earthquakes in Italy killed 200. In Ecuador, 300. A hurricane in Haiti killed over 500. And then there are the wars around the world and the threat of terrorism. 18,000 civilians have died in ISIS-related conflicts, 400,000, which I didn't realize it was that high, but 400,000 have died in the six-year Syrian war, and that includes 50,000 innocent children. Then he says, there are the miseries of 20 million adults and children bought and sold each year as slaves. Over 50 million people die every year around the world, 6,000 every hour, 100 every minute, and most of them do not die in their ripe old age by sleeping peacefully away into happy eternity. Most die young, most die after long struggles with pain, and millions die because of the evil of man against man. So we ask, why, Lord? Why is the world you made like this? If you are God, why is this world so full of terror and trouble? Where are you, God, when we suffer? Let us pray. Oh God, please speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us understand where you are when we suffer. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. As Jesus walked along with the disciples, he saw a blind man. And one of the disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Now, back in Jesus' day, they believed that any kind of a physical deformity or illness or disease was caused because of sin. And Jesus said, no, there's no sin involved, neither this man nor his parents. But this blindness has come upon this man so that the work and the power of God might be displayed in his life. Now, just as the disciples wondered why, we often wonder why as well. In fact, we're always questioning, and if you go back and look at biblical history, you'll find it's filled with one question after another. Psalm 13 says this, how long, O Lord, must I have sorrow in my heart? Jeremiah proclaimed, how long will the land lie parched, and the people cry out, why does he not see what is happening to us? Habakkuk prayed, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? Why do you not listen? And then, of course, Job cried out to God, where are you, God, after he lost everything? How many of you remember the tsunami that hit Indonesia back in 2004? Devastating. 225,000 people died in one day. And I can remember watching the news reports and seeing children clinging to pieces of furniture as that furniture was swirling around in the water and they were being swept out to sea to perish. Innocent children. If God promises to providentially care for us and watch over us, then why do such things happen and why do the innocent have to suffer? Well, sometimes God seems to answer our prayers. Sometimes it seems as though miracles really do happen, and sometimes God sort of saves us from dangerous situations. But then there are times when God seems nowhere to be found, and we wonder, and we question, where are you, God? Well, there are basically two explanations for why God allows suffering in the world. And one involves us, and the second involves God. The first explanation has to do with how sin came into the world. Sin came into the world through Adam and Eve, and when it did, it infected every part of humanity in such a way that things become imperfect and things don't always work as they're intended to work. Airplanes fall out of the sky. Cell phones sometimes burst into flames. Buildings collapse, and people suffer. A great example is what happened to Job. Good man, great family, everything was wonderful for Job, and then all of a sudden, everything fell apart. He lost his health, he lost his possessions, he lost his family, and he was found sitting in the rubble of his home, and he said this, "If only my anguish could be weighed and all my misery be placed on the scales, it would surely outweigh the sand of the seas." Sometimes bad things happen to really good people like Job. That's what Rabbi Harold Kushner understood as well, and that's why he wrote his very popular book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. He wrote it because he had an experience in his own family where his son developed a disease called Hutchinson-Gilford progeria syndrome. It's an illness that caused his son to age very rapidly, so that by the time he was 12 or 13, he was the actual age of an 80 or 90-year-old person. Rabbi Harold Kushner was angry with God that that happened to his son, but that it would happen to any children to cause them to suffer. And as a result, he struggled trying to understand why God would allow such a thing to happen. And in his struggle, he finally came to a solution and then put his ideas in this book. And basically what he realized is that God grieves with us when we grieve. He hurts with us when we hurt. He suffers with us when we suffer. And He promises to be with us in some sort of way in the midst of our suffering. Now, obviously that must be true because He was with Harold Kushner as he wrote that book, put all those ideas together, published that book, and that book has helped millions of people around the world. Sometimes God can transform our suffering and our struggles into something that can be beneficial for many, many other people. There's a second explanation for why innocent people seem to suffer and we have suffering in our world, and it really has to do with what Jesus said in our gospel passage. He said, in essence, that sometimes suffering exists in order that the work and the power of God might be displayed in the lives of people. Now, it was a Sabbath day. People were not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And to perform a miracle was considered to be work. But Jesus saw the blind man. He had compassion on him. He spit on a little piece of dirt, put it on his eye, washed it off. He could see. He did a very good thing. But the Pharisees were upset, saying, "He broke the Sabbath, so he is a sinner, and he is not worthy of doing what he's doing." And then the Pharisees got into a debate with each other, and some said that he's a sinner, and others said, "Oh no, he can't be a sinner because he actually healed this man. And you can't actually heal someone unless the power of God is working through you, so he must not be a sinner." And they were debating back and forth, and then finally the Pharisees got together and they talked to the blind man, And some of the Pharisees were trying to trick him so that they could trap Jesus. And they said, "Now, what about you? What do you say about this man being a sinner?" And the blind man just simply looked at them and said, "I don't know. All I know is once I was blind and now I see." What an amazing story. But it's a story that's filled with irony. Here we have this blind man that could not see a thing, and yet he could clearly see the power of God at work in and through Jesus. And then here we have these Pharisees who could see clearly, but they were blind and could not see the power of God working through Jesus. As strange as it sounds, sometimes our suffering is for the purpose of bringing glory to Almighty God and demonstrating to a blind world that God is alive, that God is powerful, and that God is at work in our world. Dr. James Montgomery Boyce was the pastor of the 10th Avenue Presbyterian Church from 1968 to the year 2000 when he died. Brilliant individual. He wrote many commentaries, but he had a commentary on the Gospel of John. And in that commentary, he says some profound things about this story. He says this, "Finally, as in the case of the man who had been born blind, some suffering actually occurs so that the grace of God might be revealed in the life of the Christian. The Pharisees saw the man born blind as a tool, for they wanted to maneuver him in order to trap Jesus, but Jesus saw him as a man who needed help." Boyce says, "This is the gospel. God's purposes are not frustrated by either the hatred of men or the sin of the lost." You can put that on your bathroom mirror and look at it every morning. "Rather," says Boyce, "God accomplishes His purposes sovereignly, saving by grace those whom He chooses to call to Himself." Did you catch what Dr. Boyce said? Let me read that other part again. "Some suffering occurs so that the grace of God might be revealed in the life of the Christian." Now, I want to conclude my sermon with a video, but is it working? It's not working. Okay. We had a video to show you about someone that's hard to look at, someone that's hard to imagine how he's able to live because of the suffering that he has endured all of his life. His name is Nick Vujicic, and he was born without arms and without legs. And yet, he is alive today, and he is a very powerful evangelist and witness for Jesus. When he was 10 years old, he wanted to die. And I'm not quite sure how, but I think he tried to drown himself, but God ended up saving him and somehow gave him a sense of hope. And then he began to use his life as he went all over the world. He has written books and written different things, he says, in 55 different languages. And the video shows him speaking to countless millions and millions of people, sharing the good news of Christ, that if he can make it with all the suffering he's endured, all of us and any of us can make it. Maybe we can show you the video at another time. It is really a very powerful demonstration of what God can do when we suffer. Well, basically, this story tells us that bad things do happen in our world, and it causes suffering to very good people. But Jesus has the ability to take our suffering and transform it in ways that bring good things, helpful things, meaningful things to other people. He can transform it in such a way that the work and the power of God can be displayed in our lives. God's purposes, remember this statement, are not frustrated by either the hatred of men or the sin of the lost. And just as Jesus revealed Himself to a man born blind and to a man born without arms or legs, God can reveal Himself to others, even through you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.